what I'm about to talk about now, which is the difference between missions and outreach. When we started organizing our missions effort at the church, we had adopted a set of ministries that we had been kind of grandfathered in over time that we had been supporting ever since the days when Heritage started 13 years ago. And so we began to try to consider, well, what are these ministries and are they actually doing missions? And if they are, great, how can we support them? And if they're not, you know, should we be supporting them? And if we do, how should we support them? And what is the scope of what they do? And how does that relate to what the Bible has said? And so there was a lot of things to consider in regard to these ministries that we kind of grandfathered in. Well, as we began to consider that, and at the same time we were studying what missions is, and we were trying to understand, how that should look in our long-term plan, we began to realize that there was a difference in types of ministry that had traditionally been supported in the church as to whether or not they were actually missions ministry or just maybe some form of missions ministry or maybe not really even missions ministry at all. And so, if you will, that kind of gives you some background as to what this little section of teaching is about, the difference between missions and outreach and various things that we support in the church under the heading of missions, which are not necessarily missions. Some may be in large part, but not really doing the full scope of missions, so on and so forth. So this is a discussion about those things. One of the challenges we face as we seek to define and organize our missions effort is, how do we classify different kinds of ministries and parachurch organizations as to how well they actually carry out biblical missions or to what degree do they carry it out? As we began to examine this more closely, we found that many organizations aren't actually focused primarily on biblical missions at all, but rather they are focused on some sort of humanitarian effort as a ministry to the lost, and only secondarily are they actually sharing the gospel or making disciples, which, if you will, is the primary work of biblical missions: evangelization, making disciples, establishing churches, strengthening churches. Some organizations do, to some degree, share the gospel, but very few, if any, actually make disciples as a part of their ministry effort. As this became evident to us, we recognized that these ministries and parachurch organizations that are not primarily focused on the work of biblical missions are really not missions organizations, but rather are better classified as outreach ministries. This is not to say that the ministry they carry out is not beneficial and God glorifying and even acts of obedience to God, but it is to say that the work they carry out is not missions, as the Bible defines it, at least not in large degree. Therefore, these kinds of organizations are not in the same class of missions, ministry, for example, of someone who has gone out into the field, either local, regional, or foreign, for the express purpose of evangelism, disciple-making, and the establishment of a church. They may, in fact, do some aspect of missions, like, for example, share the gospel in the course of their humanitarian effort, but it is only missions work in part and not the full scope of biblical missions. Another way to say this is by way of practical example. Many of you are familiar with different sorts of humanitarian ministries, which are actually parachurch organizations that seek to do good deeds for poor, sick, and suffering people in the name of Jesus Christ. We are all familiar with the commercials on television of ministries, for example, that feed hungry children, sometimes orphans, and many of them do it in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, we will all agree that much of this ministry is badly needed in the world, and that it is actually ministry that glorifies God in obedience to specific commands in Scripture. We are commanded by Christ to help poor, sick, and suffering people. This is part of what it means to be a follower of Christ. More than this, Churches can pool resources and be an effective means to see this kind of thing carried out, and much of it to the praise of our glorious God. However, it is one thing to go and feed hungry children, an act of obedience to God, for example, but it is another thing entirely to engage in an effort for the express purpose of evangelism, disciple making, and the establishment of a church. They are two different things. The one we call feeding hungry children, the other we call missions. One is a form of outreach ministry of the local church or individual believer, and the other is what we call missions. And so we want to make this important distinction between these different classes of ministry. In most cases, outreach ministries are primarily focused on meeting the physical, practical needs of those to whom they minister, and only secondarily are they meeting some kind of spiritual need. Now, that's in most cases. That's not in all cases. And we'll talk some about that. These are important and God-glorifying ministries, and Christians should aspire to help the poor, sick, and suffering. So, in other words, outreach ministry is important. Jesus has commanded us to do it, and we ought to be about the business of doing it. However, it's not missions work. Feeding hungry children is not missions work. Okay? Let me expound some more on that. Consider this. Paul wasn't feeding hungry children. This is not to say he never did humanitarian things. Surely he did. But that was not his primary focus. Paul was giving his life to evangelize and make disciples. In fact, none of the apostles were giving themselves to outreach ministry. They gave themselves to the spiritual health of the church because this was their God-given mandate and it was the training they received from the Master himself. These apostles were giving themselves to biblical missions and for the express purpose of evangelism, disciple-making, and the establishment of the church. The apostles were missionaries. The work they did was missions work, and it was entirely spiritual and not humanitarian. The entire book of Acts is an historical narrative describing the all-important proclamation of the kingdom of God in the world and the birth of the Christian church, which still thrives to this day by God's providence. Now, this is not to say that no outreach ministry was taking place in the early church. Surely it was. But this work was the work of deacons in the local church who were giving their time to meeting the physical and practical needs of the poor, sick, and suffering. We see this demonstrated in Acts chapter 6 with a bit of instruction given there as to how it happened. Excuse me. But even still, this humanitarian work was only for the members of the church and not to the heathen world of unbelievers. This is not to say we shouldn't do good to all people. Of course we should. It is important for us as a local church to carry out outreach ministries to the orphan and widow and to the poor, sick, and suffering in the church first and then in the world. But humanitarian efforts should always be accompanied by the preaching of the gospel whenever possible. Full bellies will do a man no good on the day of judgment of the Almighty God. Bags of rice and boxes of medicine cannot justify a man in the sight of a holy God, and they cannot wash away a person's sins. Only Christ in his gospel can do that. Therefore, even our humanitarian efforts should always be accompanied by the gospel. Therefore, it is important to do outreach ministry. But it is much more important by far to carry out biblical missions. In fact, if it weren't for God's good providence and power in the valiant efforts of Christian missionaries and zealous pastors and disciple makers in history, there wouldn't be any Christians to carry out humanitarian efforts. But the two are very different kinds of ministry. One is a very practical kind of ministry meeting physical needs on a temporal basis. The other is an entirely spiritual endeavor which saves people's souls from hell and makes an impact that is eternal and will last forever. Two very different kinds of ministry. Some of the famous last words of the Master himself are the Great Commission given in Matthew 28:18. Notice here the absence of any command to meet physical practical needs, and the primary focus of making disciples and proclaiming the kingdom of God to the nations. I'm going to read the Great Commission again, and I want you to think about the difference between outreach ministry and biblical missions as to how it relates to the Great Commission. Matthew 28:18 and following, Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." And so, if you will, that's exactly what the apostles went out and did. They went out and they made disciples of all nations. And the power of God was with them and blessed their efforts. And the gospel spread and the Christian church spread. As a result of that, now we have born-again people with good Christian hearts and good Christian endeavors that have sprung up humanitarian efforts through the history of the world ever since. Amen? And so because Christians exist, we do good things to all people. Amen? But the primary focus of missions work is the evangelization, disciple-making, and establishment of the church. Okay? Two different kinds of ministry. So, when we seek to organize our biblical missions effort and try to gauge the effectiveness and productivity of it, we can only do that in relation to how well we are carrying out what the Bible defines as missions. Therefore, it became necessary to have more than one class of ministry for the purpose of gauging how our budget is allocated and how our resources of time and talents are structured to reach our goals and objectives in missions ministry. Got that? That was a mouthful. And so we have two classes of ministry which are organized and planned for based on what kind of ministry they carry out. Much thought and prayer is given as to how we should support these various ministries and to what level or degree they should be supported. We do have some missions ministries, and we are thankful to God for them. The missions ministry at HCF is something we recognize that needs development, and we have plans in place to develop it over the long term. We also have several outreach ministries that are very important and even vital ministries of our local church. They are ministries that we must have in order to obey God in Scripture, and some that even have a primary focus of spiritual ministry. In fact, two of our outreach ministries are entirely spiritual in nature and vital ministries of our local church. Therefore, we have both missions ministries and outreach ministries that are supported by HCF missions. Okay? And now, the missions team would like to give the entire congregation a brief overview of each of these ministries so that you might be better informed of who we support. Okay, so there are several ministries we support financially and prayerfully as a church body through HCF missions. Okay, so this is a list of missions ministries and outreach ministries that are all supported under the heading of HCF missions. Okay? There are two missions ministries. They are Grace Missions and the Great Commission Alliance. And there are six outreach ministries we support. They are the Albuquerque Rescue Mission, Alive Family Ministries, HCF Audio Ministry, CareNet Pregnancy Center, Rivers of Mercy Orphanage, and the Voice of Love Ministries. And with that, we're going to begin with Grace Missions, and Ben Archuleta, Brother Ben, is going to come up, and he's going to give us a little bit of information about Grace Missions.
Good morning. Grace Bible Church and Grace Bible Institute are led by Pastor Julian Robles in the Colonia of Anapra in Juarez, Mexico. Juarez, Mexico, according to the Department of Commerce, is one of the fastest growing cities in the world today. Grace Bible Church is a God-centered Bible church with over 100 attending church members. Grace Bible Institute is a training school for pastors and church leaders Currently, 11 students are attending the school, which is located on the church property. The institute is free for all those who desire to attend with room and board provided. The students attend classes in the morning, give themselves to personal Bible study in the afternoon, then participate in outreach in the evenings and or on the weekends. Through the institute, the church has been able to send out 5 pastors to establish churches in other colonias in Juarez, Mexico. Grace Bible Institute has sent out Pastor Angel Luna, a graduate of Grace Bible Institute, as a missionary to plant churches in Bermejillo. Bermejillo is about 1,000 miles south of Juarez. The church has prospered and has established their own Bible Institute and has 10 students currently being trained.
Okay, and now another missions ministry that we support is the Great Commission Alliance. That was Grace Missions. This is the Great Commission Alliance, and Terry Thomas is going to speak to us about that.
Great Commission Alliance is a missions mobilization agency established and led by Bill Butler with his wife Joyce working together with him. Great Commission Alliance goal is to see the Great Commission fulfilled, and its mission is to assist the church in its mission to fulfill the Great Commission by equipping the local church as the primary vehicle for taking the gospel to the nations. GCA is a ministry focused on developing a relationship between efforts at home and efforts on the field. Using the model of Matthew 28:19-20 and Acts 1:8, it seeks to assist local churches and missionaries develop evangelism, discipleship, leadership development, church planting, missions, and partnerships in their Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Its specific ministries include training missionaries, building and facilitating partnerships among churches, mentoring pastors locally, regionally, and internationally, assisting local churches assess their missions, ministry, define their priorities, identify a strategy with clear goals and steps to reach those goals, measure their progress, and help them find partnering churches to accomplish their goals. Also assisting local churches identify, train, equip missionaries, make resources available to them, and prepare and facilitate missions conferences in the United States and abroad for the partnerships and missions ministries to reach Muslims. Some of the countries GCA have been involved in include the United States, Sudan, Costa Rica, Pakistan. This month, Bill and Joyce are in El Salvador working with local churches to develop a missions ministry plan for each church and establishing a comprehensive network or partnership for El Salvador.
Okay, in addition to these missions ministries, we also support 6 outreach ministries. And Luann Plugi will share with us now about the Albuquerque Rescue Mission.
Heritage has supported the outreach work at the Albuquerque Rescue Mission for several years. The Rescue Mission is a Christian ministry that exists to show the love of Jesus to the homeless men, women, and children of Albuquerque who are struggling and are without hope. Albuquerque Rescue Mission desires that those whom they minister to will come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and live as disciples of Christ. The mission provides food, shelter, and clothing to thousands of people each year on a daily basis. They also offer training, education programs, mentoring, and biblical counseling. An important aspect of the ministry is the New Life Program. The purpose of this program is to assist and equip homeless men to overcome the problems that led to their homelessness and to become responsible citizens. They also hope to bring the men into a relationship with Jesus Christ and into a local church where they can continue to be discipled. The New Life Program is a 1-year program that focuses on various areas of personal development, such as spiritual, educational, skills and hospitality, recovery of physical wellness, and daily living skills. The men who are involved with the program live at the Rescue Mission, take classes, are discipled one-on-one and are connected with the local church for service. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come." Please join us by keeping the men and women at the rescue mission in your prayers. May God make them new creatures where the old has passed away and the new has come.
Okay. We also support Alive Family Ministries. Alfredo is going to talk to us about that.
Good morning. Our fellowship has the privilege of supporting Alive Family Ministries, overseen by our very own Pastor Richard Encinas and his wife Susie. Alive Family Ministries was established to edify the body of Christ by equipping the saints for the work of ministry. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 12 says, "And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." In addition to equipping the saints, Alive Family Ministry provides personal discipleship by encouraging individuals and families to live according to biblical principles. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 to 3 says, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness." Another desire of Alive Family Ministries is to provide hope to individuals and families in crisis through encouragement and the Word of God. Romans 5, verses 3 to 5 says, "And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us." Finally, Alive Family Ministries assists the local church in developing leaders to disciple families to live to the glory of God. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2 says, "And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." Richard and Susie are dedicated to the promotion of the sovereignty of God and are committed to the sufficiency and authority of Scripture. They strive to provide individual counseling, marriage counseling, premarital counseling, and family counseling. They are gospel-based and biblically-based in structure and function, and they are dedicated to evangelism and discipleship. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 through 21 say, "Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." Please keep our pastor Richard and his wife Susie in prayer as they counsel, evangelize, and disciple. Thank you.
Amen. Praise God. What an example of faithful ministry Pastor Rich and Susie are to us. Amen. Okay, Kyle Bamberg will now share with us about the HCF audio ministry.
Heritage Christian Fellowship Missions supports our audio ministry. The audio ministry at HCF provides free electronic media to all those who desire to receive it. CDs, online media, and handouts are made available to pick up or to have mailed to individuals who so request. This is a valuable way to get God's Word to people who can't attend services, to those who want to pass along a teaching to family or friends, and to those who live in other cities. James 1, 21 through 25 says, "Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. But prove yourself doers of the word, and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. Please pray that as people listen to the teaching, they would be doers of the word and not merely hearers."
Amen. Okay, in addition to the audio ministry, we also supported CareNet Pregnancy Center for several years, and Mike Rohde will now inform us of this ministry.
Good morning. Excuse the voice, or the lack thereof. All human life is precious, but none more vulnerable or attacked as much as the preborn. CareNet's vision statement is as follows. We are a Christ-centered outreach, anointed and protected by God, dedicated to saving the lives of the unborn, reducing abortions, and restoring those impacted by abortion and unplanned pregnancies. Just hitting the high points of the services provided by CareNet, we have medical services, including pregnancy testing, early pregnancy health assessment and consultation with a nurse, pregnancy option support, including professional counseling for pregnancy-related issues, pregnancy and parenting support, including the Earn While You Learn educational program, the Stand By Me mentoring program, prenatal courses, parenting education, and material assistance through the clothing closet program. Pregnancy loss support, including grief support for miscarriage, stillbirth, or early infant death, and post-abortion grief support and healing through the Mourning, spell that M-O-U-R-N, to Joy program, and providing ultrasounds. As you know, it is an exciting time for a mother, and as I've seen a few of them myself, for us fathers, when you see your new baby for the first time, the use of the ultrasound machine has saved many children from the abortionist knife. CareNet can be found at 5 locations in the Northeast Heights, in the South Valley, in Rio Rancho, in Edgewood, and in Las Lunas. You can support the mission of CareNet through your faithful prayers, by volunteering, through your financial support, by becoming a Friend for Life, which is a monthly support program, giving a one-time gift, participating in special project gifts such as the annual Walk for Life or the Baby Bottle Campaign, and providing in-kind contributions such as office supplies, professional services, maintenance, furnishings, and numerous other items. I would be remiss if I didn't mention the opportunity for fathers to take their 11 to 17-year-old daughters to the CareNet-sponsored Purity Ball, or what 8 to 10-year-old daughter wouldn't like daddy to come to tea at the Father-Daughter Promise Tea. The 11 to 17-year-old boys are not forgotten. They can go to Extreme Commitment and spend time at a mountain camp. The conversation here is focused on how to treat the opposite sex with respect and honor, as Christ would have us men to do. Thank you.
Thanks, Mike. Just recently, we started supporting Rivers of Mercy Orphanage in Juarez, Mexico, and Karen will come and speak to us about that.
Rivers of Mercy Orphanage opened their doors to their first children in 2007. The directors of the orphanage are Emise and Kristen Robles. They have a little boy named Joel. Emise is the son of Pastor Julian and Beatrice Robles of Grace Bible Church and Institute. And Kristen is the daughter of David and Laura Leong of Rio Rancho, and they are personal friends of our family. We have known Kristen since she was a little girl. We attended the same church when we lived in Rio Rancho, and our children and the Leong children were in Awana and youth group together. And I even taught Kristen piano lessons for several years. In 2002, Terry and I had the privilege of being in Juarez for the first graduation from the Bible Institute. Kristen was also there, and it was at that time that she believed God called her to work in Juarez. Since that time, Kristen finished her schooling, married Emise, and through God's great provision, an orphanage was built. They currently have 26 children, ranging in ages from 1 to 9. They can accommodate 60 children and hope to take on more as God provides workers and support. Each day, the physical needs of each child is met. They provide their food, clothing, and uniforms for school. Although the children of school age attend public school, they also have school at the orphanage. The children are also taught God's word every day. From creation, Old Testament prophets, through the New Testament, the children are taught who God is, who Jesus is, and their need of a Savior. Emise and Kristen's greatest desire is to see each of these children that come through their door come to know Christ as their personal Savior. James 1:27 says, "Pure and undefiled the religion in the sight of God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained by the world."
Amen. Okay, now Roberto Reyes is going to come and talk to us about Voice of Love Ministries. No, not Roberto. Who is it? Sorry, somebody tell me it was Roberto. So this is not Roberto, by the way. This is our dear sister who has a heart this big for missions, Margaret Keene.
Thank you. So many of you in our congregation have had the privilege to go down to Agua Prieta, Mexico, to work with the outreach ministry, Voice of Love. Voice of Love is led by Doug and Jan Wellborn. They began their ministry in 1997, and since that time, God has used them and their volunteers to build and run a Christian refuge and a community center where hundreds of people are ministered to each week. At the Christian refuge, breakfast is served to men who are homeless, deported, or simply have need. The meals begin with the teaching of God's word, where Doug shares the gospel with men. And as men continue to come, Doug builds relationships with them and continues to share the word. At the refuge, they not only feed the men, but they provide haircuts, clothing, and help them find work. On Friday night, he has an in-depth Bible study for them who come regularly. The Voice of Love Community Center is located in a poor area of Agua Prieta. The community center is large and has an auditorium, classroom, playgrounds, soccer field, kitchen, barbershop, computer center, welding facilities, and a medical clinic. Along with their volunteers and employees, Doug and Jan offer weekly classes and functions at the community center. Each class and function begins with the gospel presentation and a teaching from the Word of God. On Friday afternoon, Jan offers a Bible study for the women, and the women have completed the Fundamentals of the Faith workbook and 12 Extraordinary Women by John MacArthur. Romans 10:17 says, "So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ." Through the preaching and teaching of God's word, God will draw those who believe in Jesus to himself. It is Doug and Jan's desire to see the men and women and children come to the Lord. Jesus said in John 10:10, "I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly." Please keep Doug and Jan in your prayers and all those to whom they minister. May God alone be glorified.
Amen. So we praise God for the opportunity that we have to financially and prayerfully support each of these ministries. Please keep these ministries in your prayers. These are ministries that we corporately together support. Amen. Not only financially, but also with our time, with our talent, and with our treasure. Our desire is that God is glorified through each of these and that he uses us to assist in their work unto the Lord.